A lot of people are seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit without giving all of themselves to God. It does not happen. You can pray and fast and do as much as you like. You will not have a genuine experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit if you don't say, God, you can have everything in my life. And God is not a spoil sport. He's not here to mess up your life. He's here to make the maximum of the potential there is in your life. That you, when you come to the end of your life, you'll have a satisfaction over the way you lived this earthly life. And you would have built His church. You'd be cooperating with Jesus in the most important work that God is doing on this earth today, is building your church in every place. And think of your places included in Malachi 1:11, a pure offering. I had that burden. I said, Lord, You said in Malachi 1:11, from the east to west, in every place, there'll be a pure offering that glorifies Me, of a group of people who do not give, the blind and the lame and the sick, but who give their very best to God. I want to be in that number, and I want to meet with other people who are of the same spirit. I want to fellowship with them. And I want to say I found such people, not only in where I live, little by, for first 6-7 years it was just in one place, and then God began to bring us in touch with other people. Because we prayed. We said, Lord, is there anybody here who wants to give their maximum to God? Please bring us in touch with them. We don't want to meet people who want to go to heaven when they die. I'm not just an evangelist trying to lead people to heaven. I want to be a disciple maker. Because Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Then you have a church which is not full of strife and conflict and backbiting and quarreling, but a church where people love one another. And Jesus said, all men will know you are My disciples, not when you love them, but when you love one another. Many people misunderstand that. John 13:34-35. All men will know you are My disciples when you love them. That verse is not in the Bible, by the way. But that's how we live. You show your Christianity by loving people. Well, that's good. But Jesus said, if you want to quote Jesus' words exactly, all men will know you are My disciples when you love one another. When you're together and become one with each other, people say, hey, that's the church of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you another thing. The church is not only meant to be a testimony to people in the world. You know, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But the word world, if you read the New Testament frequently, refers not only to this physical earth and the people here, it refers to another system. You know, the Bible says, love not the world, for all that is in the world is not of the Father. That is, He's not talking about people. The world is used in the New Testament to refer to two things, to people. God so loved the world, that's the people. But then there's another use of the word world called the world system, controlled by the devil. The devil controls the political world, the judicial world, and that's why you find all types of orders coming from the Supreme Court and from political leaders, which are completely contrary to God's law and order. You know why? Because they are under the control of the prince of this world. They haven't given their all to Jesus Christ. So their minds are being controlled, whether it's judges of courts or political leaders or businessmen or Hollywood or media. They're all being controlled by the prince of this world. That is the other world the New Testament speaks of. And it says, love not this world, for all that is in this world is not of the Father. So we have to steer clear of that. And we have to stand against it. We are living in this world, but we are not of this world. And the Holy Spirit has come to make us a witness to this world. You're the light of the world means you're a light to the devil. And I'll show you that in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 3. It says in Ephesians 3 and verse 10, in order that the manifold, means the many-sided wisdom of God, can be made known through the church. That's your local church of a few people who've given everything to Jesus in your locality. you're one of them and you're meeting with a few others who really surrendered everything to Christ. And you're meeting with them. That's the church in your locality. Through the church, God is manifesting His wisdom to whom? Not just to the other people in your locality. That's very important. But to the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies. Those are the evil rulers and authorities in the heavenlies. The Bible speaks about the evil rulers and authorities in the heavenlies in Ephesians 6:12. It says we battle against them. To them, God is showing through your church His wisdom. You know, the first book in the Bible is not Genesis, it's Job. Genesis was written by Moses about 1500 years before Christ. Job was written 2000 years before Christ. Job lived 500 years before Moses. And that was the first book of the Bible. The Bible is not kept in that order in which it is written, because Job is a poetical book. It's put along with the books of poetry, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, etc. But he lived 500 years before Christ. So think of this. When God wanted to write a book for man, the first book that He wrote was not about the creation of the heaven and the earth, or even about the creation of man, or even about the fall of man. God said, that can wait 500 years. Moses will come up 500 years later. I'll get him to write Genesis. But I'm writing a book now for man, the first book he wrote, the book of Job. You know what the subject is? A man who stood for God and was a witness for God to Satan. He wasn't primarily a witness to people around. God said to Satan, have you seen Job? I can imagine Satan going to God and saying, God, there are so many people who take your name on earth, they are a bunch of hypocrites. They're just religious hypocrites. God says, yes, but have you seen Job? He's different. And Satan tries to tear him down, saying, no, he's different because of this. And no, he says, you can test him. You can take him through any trial. He will stand true to me. He's given his all to me. He's not seeking his own. He wants to honor me. You can test him out. And Satan tests him out, and Job comes through like gold in the fire, glorifying God, worshiping Him, and he becomes a witness to Satan. Remember, this is the first book that God wrote in the Bible, a man who is a witness to the devil for God. And this is what we read in Ephesians 3:10. A church that is a witness to the devil, when the devil says, God, have you had a look at your church on earth these days? The hypocrites and the humbugs, they look at all types of things. Look at the sexual evil there is and all types of perversions there is in the sexual area, even in churches. And God says, yes, but have you seen that little church over there? Only 25 people in that church. But have you seen that? That's different. Here is a church. It's not a mega church of 30,000 people. It's just 25 people, but it's a witness for Christ. The 30,000 member church is not a witness to the devil, because the devil sees most of them are living in compromise or sitting there. Many of them are divorced. They don't love one another. They haven't forgiven people. And the devil sees through all that. People are impressed by the size of that congregation. But the devil says, look at those hypocrites sitting there. They glory in the fact that they're a mega church. But the Lord says, yes, this is all true. But look at this one here. Look at this church over here. Look at this group of people who really love one another and who live for the things of eternity, who have given everything to me and not 10%. I don't know whether you've seen it. I've seen it so clearly. That's the only thing I've been living for many years now. And I know that when Christ comes again and I finish my earthly course, I'll be able to look back over my life not having wasted my life on worthless religious pursuits. I hope you will have that satisfaction when Christ comes again.